Thank you, and good evening. And let me just thank John for his incredible passion for our community and certainly for that kind introduction. And I'd also, you're going to hear a lot more about John in a few minutes from me. I would also like to thank Mike Ault, who is the director of Eastman Business Park, for providing us with this amazing backdrop tonight. So, Mike, thank you very much for being our host. We appreciate it. You know, we're going to start tonight talking a little bit about the folks that came up on the dais as part of the Honor Guard. You know, as a proud West Webster resident, I am so grateful to the police and fire representatives from my town that led us in the salute to the nation's flag this evening. Thank you to Lieutenant Dennis Kohlmeyer and Joseph Rieger of the Webster Police Department and Assistant Chief Vince Pratt of the West Webster Fire Department for leading us in the pledge, and members of the Webster Police Department and West Webster Fire Department who presented the colors in the Joint Honor Guard. You know, last Christmas Eve, the lives of many in this town, in my town, where life is worth living, as they say, many lives were changed forever. We saw at that moment the worst of mankind in the cowardly actions of one individual. But we saw the best of humanity in the outpouring of love and support that came from our community, our nation, and around the world. Well, today, families on Lake Road in Webster are working to rebuild their homes. And families who lost loved ones are working to rebuild their lives. Lieutenant Mike Ciparini was a West Webster firefighter and a proud member of the Webster Police Department. Tomas Kachufka, 19 years old, was a West Webster firefighter and a 911 dispatcher. Both men answered the call of duty on that day and were killed in service to this community. Grease officer John Ritter and firefighters Ted Scardino and Joseph Hofstetter also answered the call that day, and their wounds continue to heal. All of these men are heroes, and their actions on that tragic day truly are a reflection of the daily contributions of Monroe County's first responders. They risk their lives, they face unparalleled dangers every time they report for duty. They put service above self. So tonight, let's take a moment to offer our thoughts and prayers to these incredible men and women who serve in Webster and our community, as well as those who serve throughout Monroe County and this region. I'd like to ask Lieutenant Dennis Kohlmeyer and Assistant Chief Vince Pratt to stand to be recognized, please. A lot has been said since that day, but I think there's one thing that can't be said enough, and that is thank you for your service. I would also like to recognize, as we always do every year, the brave men and women in our armed forces who have stepped up to serve our country, especially those who made the ultimate sacrifice this past year. They are U.S. Army Specialist Theodore Matthew Glendy, U.S. Army Specialist Relik Quintier Roque Boswell, U.S. Army Sergeant First Class Daniel Thomas Metcalf, U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Nicholas John Reed, and U.S. Army Private First Class Grant Walker Wise. Please join me in a moment of silence to honor our community's fallen heroes. Thank you. Special thanks tonight to Mayor Tom Richards, Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn, County Clerk Cheryl Donolfo, District Attorney Sandra Dorley for attending, to Legislature President Jeff Adair, Majority Leader Steve Cucciarello, Minority Leader Carrie Andrews, and all of our county lawmakers in attendance. I started my tenure in government as a county legislator, and I recognize and certainly appreciate the important work that you do, and I thank you for your daily partnership. To all of our government leaders at the town, village, city, and school district level who are here tonight, thank you for the work you do in putting taxpayers first in Monroe County each and every day. To my family here tonight, my husband Bob is here, and you know, he for over 30 years put on the uniform of the Rochester Police Department and was one of those incredible first responders that we just talked about a few minutes ago, and I thank him for his unconditional love and support and for being here tonight. And, you know, Bob and I are truly blessed because we have five incredible, talented young professionals in our family. Now, three of them have been following their passion in different parts of the state and different parts of the country. But Jim Wiesner and his wife, Rachel Wiesner, are here, and they have chosen to make their home and work and raise their family right here in Rochester, and we're very, very proud of that. And I will tell you, they have two adorable sons, Aiden Patrick and Jacob Thomas, and they've literally changed our lives, let me tell you that. And every time Bob and I look in those little faces, it really puts life and love in perspective. So thank you for giving us that great gift, and thanks for being here tonight. And John Ledestri, many thanks again for those kind words of introduction. John Ledestri has demonstrated his commitment to this community in so many ways. His confidence in the local economy has resulted in the growth and expansion of his company. His investments have produced hundreds of local jobs and producing more even as we speak, and have enhanced the quality of life in our community. Ledestri Foods has become one of the nation's premier food and beverage manufacturers. Chances are that you have one of Ledestri's many products in your home, maybe a Francesco Rinaldi sauce, or a Santa Fe salsa, or a bottle of sangria. Well, the company is headquartered in Fairport and manufactures there and in three other states. But as John mentioned earlier, in October of 2009, he made a decision to purchase a former Kodak building and move operations from Dundee, New York, and Pennsauken, New Jersey, to their new Rochester home. Ledestri Foods has since invested over $50 million, creating a state-of-the-art sauce plant and spirits business here. John is a dedicated and driven leader and never one to slow down. Soon, Ledestri Foods will be purchasing even more space from Kodak, this time a nearly 400,000-square-foot facility. The expansion will give the company more operational space and will pave the way for the creation of a new center for excellence, a corporate test kitchen, if you will, to create new and exciting products. Ledestri Foods has invested nearly $70 million in the local economy, and the investments sustain more than 650 local jobs. John, in today's global economy, successful companies like yours have a choice and the ability to do business anywhere in the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing Rochester. Now, there is a reason that we chose to highlight the success of Ledestri Foods and a reason that we chose this backdrop for our State of the County speech. Eastman Business Park, to me, represents our community's ongoing transformation from a big box image capital to a hub for innovation and technology. Eastman Business Park is the largest and most diverse industrial park in the Northeast. The park is over 1,000 acres of land with 2.5 million square feet of available manufacturing, laboratory, warehouse, and office space. At the time when Eastman Kodak employed more than 65,000 workers and was our largest employer, the company filled this space, and the park was a focal point for Kodak manufacturing operations. It was known as a city within a city and had its own on-site utilities, railroad, waste treatment, security, and emergency services. We all know that Kodak is changing. It's a company with a different vision, a smaller workforce, and needs a smaller footprint. And that means places like Eastman Business Park, which have served our economy well in the past, have become an opportunity for Rochester's economic future. This site has the infrastructure and the assets needed to become one of the most effective incubators for economic growth, not only in our county and region, but in the entire country. Today, Eastman Business Park has opened its doors to new ideas and new business. The park's turnkey infrastructure is helping middle-stage technology companies accelerate their ideas from prototype to commercialization, keeping products and jobs in Rochester. Today, there are 28 companies here. There are 6,500 people working in this park. Companies like Quintel, TrueSense Imaging, and Neticor Technology are making investments here in this park. Some are here because of a past connection to Kodak. Others are here because of the access to this unique manufacturing space. We all know that the park is a work in progress. With Mayor Richards helping to lead the charge, the city and the county are working closely with Governor Cuomo, our state delegation, and Eastman Kodak on the transformation of this space. The tenants here expect it, and quite frankly, they deserve it. The Finger Lakes Regional Economic Development Council is fully invested in this effort, and I would like to thank co-chairs President Joel Seligman and Danny Wegman for their leadership. These are two incredible community leaders who have a day job. Danny Wegman, as we know, leads one of our most influential and successful corporate businesses in Rochester. President Seligman leads and changes lives on a daily basis at the community's largest employer, the University of Rochester. But I want to tell you, when it comes to changing lives in our community and changing the scope and the impact of our economy, their leadership is unmatched. And President Seligman is here tonight, and I'd like him to stand so we can thank him for his efforts. We also have many economic development partners who are fully invested, and I would like to thank Vinny Esposito at Empire State Development, Mark Peterson at Greater Rochester Enterprise, and Sandy Parker at the Rochester Business Alliance. You know, I think the fact that we talk about this team is an indication of really where economic development is going in Monroe County. Government doesn't do this alone anymore. We have a team of people that work together with us, that share our passion and our commitment to the future. You know, several years ago, Monroe County Pure Waters worked with Kodak, and we took control of about 15,000 feet of pipe, one pump station, and other infrastructure needed to provide sanitary sewer service for nearly 500 acres on this property. Well, by the end of this year, we will add 13,000 more feet of pipe and two pump stations, adopting another 300 acres into our system. Kodak's contributions to the product saved money for Pure Waters ratepayers. The utility upgrades will help Kodak as it continues to market this property to new business. George Eastman had a vision for Kodak Company, but also for this community. He had a unique understanding that public entities and private institutions could do more in tandem than they ever could in isolation. That spirit of partnership was the foundation for many of Eastman's legacy projects. I think he would be very proud that the same spirit of partnership is guiding much of what we do to create and retain jobs in Monroe County today. There is no question that government cannot do this alone anymore. Eastman Business Park is a place where some of our strongest private partners succeed each and every day. Optimation is a one-stop shop for engineering, automation, construction, and maintenance services. They specialize in providing all the custom-made tools and machinery necessary to bring a major manufacturing project from concept to prototype into full-scale production. Focused on meeting the needs of a very diverse industry, including aerospace, automotive, glass, and chemical applications, Optimation is home to many incredible engineers, designers, and skilled trades workers who produce important, cutting-edge products for clients around the world. The company operates 150,000 square feet of fabrication, assembly, and experimentation space right here in the park. ITT Excellus is a global supplier of innovative night vision, remote sensing, and navigation solutions for applications on the ground, in the air, and even in space. A few years ago, the company acquired Kodak's remote sensing systems operation and chose Rochester as a headquarters for its world-leading space systems division. Monroe County worked with ITT Excellus early on, and the company created more than 750 jobs. Recently, the company expanded again. In fact, it relocated an entire manufacturing line from a plant in Massachusetts to its cutting-edge facility here in the park. The move brought $50 million in new private investment to this site. Ledestre, Optimation, and ITT Excellus have something in common. All have worked with Monroe County's most powerful economic development tool, COMITA, to grow their investment in our community. Before expanding, Ledestre Foods employed about 350 people. Since that time, Ledestre has nearly doubled its workforce. Optimation has nearly quadrupled its workforce, growing from 90 people to 350. And ITT Excellus has grown its local workforce from 600 employees to almost 1,200 people. We already know that John Ledestre is here with us tonight, but we are also fortunate to be joined by President John Pollack and Vice President Doug Dobson from Optimation, and David Volkmuth and Rochester Facilities and Site Manager with ITT Excellus. I'd like them to stand so we can thank them for their success and their confidence in Monroe County. You know, there are some who talk about the cost of COMITA assistance, but make no mistake about it, COMITA projects are an investment that bring our community great return. According to the New York State Comptroller, COMITA continues to feature one of the lowest cost-to-job created ratios for county IDAs in the state. But you don't have to take my word for it, or the Comptroller's word for that matter. Let me share one of COMITA's success stories.
Through COMITA, Genesee Brewery has been able to make a significant investment in the historic High Falls area in the city of Rochester. Genesee Brewery is headquartered in Rochester, New York, and is the maker of the historic line of Genesee beers, Dundee Ales and Lagers, the original Honey Brown Lager, and Seagram's Escapes. In 2009, Genesee Brewery was acquired by North American Breweries, who invested over $20 million and created over 200 jobs in Monroe County. In December of 2012, North American Breweries was purchased by Cerveceria Costa Rica, also known as Florida Ice and Farm, which now owns and operates five breweries in the United States, including six retail locations in New York, Vermont, California, Oregon, and Washington. In April of 2012, the Genesee Brewery proposed to renovate a 9,200-square-foot building located near their primary manufacturing plant. This space was formerly the packaging center for the brewery and was built at the turn of the century. The first floor includes a working microbrewery with an adjacent touring area to showcase the brewing process, as well as a souvenir shop. The second floor houses a restaurant that seats approximately 80 guests and showcases an outdoor deck and rooftop patio with an uninhibited view of the historic High Falls. This $2.8 million project has created an additional 12 full-time jobs to the existing 600 on St. Paul Street. Incentives provided through COMITA have allowed the Genesee Brewery to invest over $2.8 million into our local economy while showcasing our region's renowned food and beverage industry.
The brewery project also demonstrates the sort of due diligence that goes into each and every project that COMITA approves. 4 years ago, a clause was included to require the repayment of incentives in the event of an ownership change. Well, in 2012, the brewery's parent company did sell its rights to the facility, and COMITA recaptured $600,000 for local taxpayers. But this public-private partnership also preserved an iconic local company, preserved a piece of Rochester history, and there are now 600 people working at that plant. Rich Lozniak, the CEO at Genesee Brewery, was unable to be here tonight, but I want to thank him for his ongoing commitment to the site and his commitment to working with our community. Thank you, Rich. A vibrant city is critical to the overall health of our county. Since 2007, COMITA projects have injected over $600 million into private investment in the city of Rochester alone. Last year, 30% of all COMITA projects were in Rochester. Check out the newly renovated Culver Road Armory.
Through COMITA's lease-leaseback program, the restoration of the Culver Road Armory has contributed greatly to the revitalization of the city of Rochester. In August of 2010, Developer Whitney Baird Associates acquired and renovated this historic 75,000-square-foot building. Located at 145 Culver Road, on approximately 7.5 acres in the city of Rochester. Their goal was to create state-of-the-art commercial and retail space in the heart of our great city. This goal was accomplished through the refurbishment and renovation of the main facility with new masonry, installation of new windows, the addition of insulation, and roof replacement. Since that time, a second floor has been added to the pre-existing 75,000-square-foot facility, resulting in the creation of approximately 100,000 rentable square feet. This $14 million investment will result in the creation of jobs and the restoration of the property to a tax-generating facility.
This is an incredible success story, and let's welcome tonight President Fred Rinaldi Sr. and Vice President Fred Rinaldi Jr. from the Armory and acknowledge the amazing transformation of that once dormant space. Would you stand up for us? Thank you. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you. Since 2004, our IDA has assisted more than 1,000 companies and projects, helping to create over 17,000 jobs and retain 75,000 jobs. For the coming year, Comita will be using a series of documentary-style video profiles, including the two that you just saw, to help show local and out-of-town employers why we are such a great place to set up shop or expand operations. Every day, Comita touches local companies that are having a national and even a global impact. Rochester Optical Manufacturing makes eyeglass frames for the U.S. military. True Sense Imaging produces nearly all of the satellite and bird's eye view images that you see on Google Maps. Flower City Tissue Mills makes paper used by retailers, including Neiman Marcus and Tiffany's. Star of the West Flour Company in Churchville produces much of the flour for Dunkin' Donuts east of the Mississippi. Maidstone Coffee in Henrietta produces coffee for all Tim Hortons restaurants in the United States. McAlpin Industries produces metal parts for that infamous Operation game that kids of all ages have enjoyed. And Maximus is a Pittsburgh company that quietly processes all of the Medicare appeals claims in the country. Now, that's the short list, just a few examples of companies that put people to work in our community and put Rochester on the map globally. I want to acknowledge and recognize Judy Seil. She is our Director of Economic Development. John mentioned her earlier. I call her the face of business in Monroe County, and I'm going to embarrass her and have her stand because I want to thank Judy for all that she does to promote our community as a world-class place to do business. Judy, where are you? Thank you. She does an incredible job. Thanks, Judy. Throughout our nation's history, men and women have put on the uniform of this country and gone off to fight in defense of our freedom. For some, the transition back to civilian life can sometimes be even more challenging than military service, especially if they don't have a job. Government has a moral responsibility to help those who have served this country find gainful and rewarding employment when they return home. Government can't do it alone. Helmets to Hard Hats is a national nonprofit program that connects National Guard, Reserve, retired, and transitioning active duty military service members with skills training and career opportunities in the construction industry. They make that connection. The program is designed to connect veterans to a job where they can put many of the skills they learned in the military to good use, and they can actually establish a career. Thanks to the partnership of local building and construction trades organizations, Monroe County will be launching this program to help our veterans not just find a job, but as I said, establish a career. The trades organizations will administer the actual technical training, and Monroe County will provide a $1,500 bonus to the veteran upon certification. And if a veteran already has certification in the skilled trades and starts a job in that trade, they will still receive a bonus of $500. I do want to say a special thank you tonight to Dave Young, president of the Rochester Building and Construction Trades Council, and Ken Warner, executive director of UNICON, Unions and Businesses United in Construction, for their work to make this program a reality for our hometown heroes. Ken and Dave, thank you so much. You know, Monroe County is home to 50,000 veterans, and our Veterans Service Agency works each and every day with community partners to protect their quality of life. VSA Director and U.S. Army veteran Laura Stradley has done much during her short tenure to increase the agency's efficiency and improve its effectiveness. This year, the VSA launched a new branding and outreach campaign to ensure local veterans access to the benefits that they have earned. In the last 6 months of 2012 alone, the VSA offered its services at more than 40 events throughout the county. And because our Monroe County Veterans Discount Card has been such a huge success, we're going to be expanding that program by providing on-the-spot Veterans Discount Card processing at the VSA office and at outreach events throughout the community. The card provides savings for veterans and their families who do business with participating retail companies and restaurants. I would like to thank our outreach coordinator and service officer, Ken Moore, who is here tonight, and the entire VSA team for their service to those who have served us. Ken, I know I saw you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anyone who's spent any amount of time with me knows that I say this often. Public safety is government's most important responsibility. And Monroe County is home to one of the finest public safety teams in the entire nation. Our team works on a daily basis with talented and professional partners in area law enforcement, fire, and EMS agencies. The county never loses sight of its core mission, to ensure that first responders are the best equipped and the best trained anywhere. Long before other communities and counties were talking about collaboration in public safety, Monroe County was leading the pack with best practices, embracing mutual aid, establishing a centralized 911 system, and building an under-one-roof training facility and emergency operations center. In a time of heightened security awareness, new federal requirements for homeland security, and shrinking resources at the local level, governments are being challenged to think out of the box to develop innovative solutions to protect our citizens. Monroe County is making great progress to revolutionize the way first responders in our county communicate with each other. Simple, communicate with each other. But government can't do it alone. The events of September 11, 2001, taught us a lot about the need for interoperability. It's not an option, it's a necessity. In the past few years, our teams have been working with experts in the private sector to lay the groundwork for a system of technology and equipment upgrades that will provide first responders with the latest and most advanced communications capability now and into the future. Last month, the county reached an important milestone in that project. On April 5th, the county took delivery of our new radio system from a local company, Harris RF. The new technologies include additional towers to increase our system's ability to reach all corners of the county and a cutting-edge ability to route radio transmissions to their intended recipients while using fewer frequencies. As the system comes fully online, we will continue to add users. By the end of 2013, we will have added all county vehicles in our public service sector, including parks, transportation, and environmental services. These departments will benefit from better communications at a lower cost. With strong support from the Monroe County Legislature, the county has been able to implement an innovative public-private model that incorporates the efficiency of the private sector with the accountability demanded of government. The Monroe Safety and Security Systems Local Development Corporation, or M3SLDC for short, will save taxpayers money and ensure that every first responder in Monroe County will be able to communicate with one another on a state-of-the-art system. When Jerome Hauer, the commissioner of the state's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, toured Harris RF in March and learned more about this public-private partnership, M3S, he made the remark that I want to share with you tonight. He said, Monroe County is absolutely doing it right. Mr. Hauer, I couldn't agree with you more. Our innovative approach to public safety continues each and every day. It's continuing at our soon-to-be-opened Monitoring and Reaction Center. This cutting-edge center is unique in New York State, and just like our 911 center, centralizes all emergency calls. The center will consolidate all security and monitoring functions for county-owned and operated buildings and the Monroe County Water Authority. County infrastructure will be safer, and the safety of our water supply will be enhanced. The center will eliminate duplication of service in the county and at the authority, and will use the latest technology to reduce costs for taxpayers. It will also be a backup to our current 911 center and our county emergency operations center. We're very proud and we're very excited. For the last 9 years, we've had an incredibly talented and capable director at the helm of public safety efforts in our county. Steve Bowman has demonstrated incomparable leadership and provided dedicated service to our residents with unmatched character and integrity. As Steve begins a well-deserved retirement, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank him for his service. Steve, best wishes as you head on to the next adventure. Where are you? I know you're here and you're not going to stand up, but I'm going to make you. Stand up. Great job. I can honestly say that Steve Bowman is one of the absolutely most talented individuals I've ever worked with. So, Steve, thank you again. Now, great leaders are often very hard to follow, and we know that with Steve. But you know what? I'm very confident that we have found a successor who will protect the standard of excellence set in our public safety community. David Moore has demonstrated his commitment to our community as chief of the Rochester Police Department, the director of the city's Office of Public Integrity, and more recently, as security director at Monroe Community College. He is highly respected for his work ethic and his collaborative public safety approach. Please join me now in welcoming David Moore to his new post. Chief Moore, thank you. A familiar face and a demonstrated record of excellence in this community. Thank you. I look forward to working with you, Chief Moore. You know, in 2011, we cut the ribbon on a state-of-the-art crime lab. A lot of the people in this room were there. It's the only regional crime lab in upstate New York. It was much needed at the time, and work began immediately on clearing a backlog of casework that was left behind as a byproduct, quite honestly, of operating for years in an antiquated facility. In the area of DNA evidence alone, there were over 800 cases waiting to be tested at the end of last year. Well, tonight we can tell you that our lab investment is paying off. By the end of next year, any remaining backlog will be completely eliminated. That's great news, and I know Sandra Dorley's here. I hope that's great news for your office as well. Our crime lab is a critical partner in law enforcement's efforts, in prosecutors' efforts to solve crime, to prosecute suspects, and keep criminals in jail and off our streets. So please join me in recognizing lab administrator John Clark and his staff for this achievement, the incredible work they do each and every day to keep us safe. John, thank you so much. Monroe County took a huge step this past year to give prosecutors an additional tool to protect our community's most vulnerable but most precious asset, our children. The county legislature passed, and I signed into law, a new law making cyberbullying a crime in Monroe County. We want to help eradicate bullying in this community, and this new law sends a clear message to those who engage in the behavior that it won't be tolerated in Monroe County. More than 200 local teachers, advocates, community leaders, parents, and young people joined together to help support Monroe County's inaugural call to action to prevent bullying. And recently, our Youth Bureau joined with the city school district to host a community conversation that featured Dr. Samir Hindusha, who is the co-director of the National Cyberbullying Research Center. Research has shown that one in every five students locally have been victims of cyberbullying. The statistics are disturbing. We can be the community that makes a difference if we all work together. And I do want to recognize and thank one of our legislators, Carm Gamina, actually two of them, and Mike Barker. I don't know if they're here tonight, but they were instrumental in moving this legislation forward, and I thank them for that. Counties in New York State came into existence to be the social service providers for New York State government. That's where we came from. That's why we were formed. In fact, the biggest department in county government today exists to serve children and families in need in Monroe County. Much of our service is mandated by the state. And even though the burden of mandated spending grows every year, the state's reimbursements do not. Human Services Commissioner Kelly Reed shares my belief that we can reduce costs and improve outcomes at the very same time. But government can't do it alone. Monroe County's Family Finding Initiative is a great example of a proven model that works. The Family Finding model is groundbreaking because it acknowledges that some of our community's most at-risk children are better served by receiving care from family members rather than government programs. The challenge is that kids in broken homes often fall between the cracks and into the system, even when there is a relative out there who would be happy to provide the love and care that they need. By using advanced search technologies, caseworkers can work with children who are neglected by their immediate family to find other relatives that are willing to provide a loving home and direct care. The Family Finding Initiative is less about how the program works and more about the people it serves. Brianna is one of them. Brianna was 8 years old when she was first placed in foster care. She moved a total of 19 times, spending time in 11 different foster homes in only 4 years. Despite these challenges, Brianna always excelled in school. She was always musically talented and even learned to play the violin. She set a goal to attend Cornell University to become a lawyer. But it was clear that Brianna would never be able to reach her full potential in foster care. It simply didn't meet her unique needs as a child. So Brianna began working with a team of dedicated professionals who would explore different options to put her on the right track. Throughout the process, her team identified Brianna's strong desire for biological family involvement. She was a perfect fit for the Family Finding Initiative. So her caseworkers prepared a video testimonial and began to search across the country for family connections. Here's Brianna in her own words.
Can you tell me your name?
Brianna.
How old are you, Brianna?
11.
11. There's a beautiful smile. I knew you had one in there.
Who's ever watching this video, I'd like to know if, if you actually knew me when I was little, because my mom says that when I was born, nobody really knew me because they didn't like that my mother had a baby.
Do you have any pictures of yourself from when you were small?
I used to, but after I moved out of my mom's house, everything got stolen, so we don't have any more.
Tell me about what family means to you.
I don't really call people my family unless they're blood related. I don't know any of my other grandmas, and the one that I did know, she died.
So are you thinking this family finding stuff is going to be good for you?
I guess so, but what if it doesn't work out? Like, what if you find somebody, but then I'm going to want to move with them, and then I might not be able to.
You might be able to, right?
Maybe.
I mean, I think the whole reason that folks are looking for family for you so you have a place to go. Anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
No, I'd like to say, wait, one more thing.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Well, that powerful video made its way to a long-lost great aunt and uncle in Michigan who became involved in Brianna's life. A little over a year ago, she moved to live with them. So she continues to do well in school and is excelling in sports. She's made friends in her new school and still dreams about being a lawyer. Brianna is an exceptionally brave and promising young woman, and I thank her for her courage in sharing the story tonight. She couldn't be here with us because she is happily at home with her family. So yet, if there's anything Brianna's story can show us, it's that the human spirit of caring is never constrained by the miles between us. So let's give her a round of applause in absentia for her courage and for her happy ending. Let me tell you about another partnership producing results for fathers in our county. Reggie Cox is the pastor of Changing Lives Worship Center. Now, he knows that investing in fathers gives us a better shot at keeping kids in school and out of trouble. That's why we've adopted a program called the Fatherhood Connection. The program includes 13 weeks of training targeting fathers of all ages and focuses on parenting, personal development, healthy relationships, and domestic violence prevention. And based on our success with the Fatherhood Initiative model, Monroe County is working with Pastor Cox to implement a program for adolescent males. It's called Boys to Men, and it provides young men with opportunities for personal growth, a sense of community, and a chance to develop important leadership skills that will serve them well in the future. Pastor Cox is here tonight with us, so let's thank him for being such a strong force for good in our community. Pastor Cox? Thank you. Thank you. You know, during his State of the City address, Mayor Richards talked about the challenge of truancy. You know, we all have a responsibility to do everything we can to keep kids in the classroom and off the streets during the school day. The Rochester City School District and our Department of Human Services are working together on a pilot program at four city elementary schools to help crack down on truancy. This initiative is especially important because it's focused on grades 1 through 3 when students are learning to read. If they aren't attending school, they won't learn the literacy skills they need to succeed. They're also much more likely to drop out of school later on. Our Family Access Connection team, which pairs our caseworkers with probation officers, also works with students old enough to self-select to drop out of school. The program helps caseworkers better determine the root causes of truancy, including abuse, neglect, or undiagnosed mental health conditions. All told, the Family Access Connection team receives an average of nearly 175 referrals each month, with over 600 open cases at any given time. My thanks to Commissioner Reed, Probation Director Bob Burns, and City School Superintendent Bohan Vargas for working together on this critical issue. And I do want to share, and I learned this last night, and I'm going off script, and everybody gets nervous when I do that, but I'm going to go off script for just a moment. I heard two alarming statistics last night, which really reinforces the message that we should care about truancy. Everyone in this room should care about truancy. Each and every day, there are 3,000 students that don't show up in our city schools. Of those 3,000 students, 400 of them are in kindergarten. Think about that. 400 of them are in kindergarten. I share the mayor's passion for working to solve this problem, and the county is very, very proud to be a part of those initiatives. Monroe Community Hospital has touched the lives of many individuals and families in our community throughout its long and dynamic history. It wasn't always called a hospital. In fact, in 1826, MCH was just a small building on South Avenue that was called the County Almshouse. In 1929, the county made a decision to build a new facility, and in 1931, the Monroe Community Home and Infirmary opened on East Henrietta Road. Over the decades, MCH has evolved into what it is today, a long-term health care facility that provides skilled nursing, rehabilitation, and specialty care. There are more than 550 residents who call MCH their home. It serves infants just over 8 weeks old and has residents who are older than 100. And despite a history full of change to meet the community's needs, one thing has always remained the same: MCH's commitment to serve those who may not have anywhere else to go. If you look around the state, you will see many counties selling their nursing homes, closing them, privatizing them. They can't afford to be in the business anymore. As county executive, I serve as the governing body for our hospital. Two of my grandparents received care, lived in that hospital, and my commitment to preserving MCH as a community treasure runs deep. A recent state survey said that MCH failed to live up to its tradition of excellence and our mission of putting residents first as the result of an isolated incident. Now, we've made a necessary leadership change. We've retrained our staff on new resident care policies. We've empowered a new board of community advocates, and I will personally be overseeing the implementation of the state-approved corrective plan in the months ahead. MCH is bigger than one person, is bigger than one isolated incident. Here's what MCH is really all about. Quality care provided daily by a dedicated team of professional people who do incredible work with little or no fanfare. MCH is short for Monroe Community Hospital, but it may as well stand for Miracles Can Happen. Quiet miracles, like Kadeem Fulmore. Kadeem grew up in Rochester and attended Aquinas High School. He went on to attend Lincoln University outside of Philadelphia, where he was pursuing a degree in business. In 2011, Kadeem was a senior, and he was in a car accident with two friends. He was a passenger in a car that hit a tree and caught fire. He was pinned in the car while it was burning. His best friend died in that crash. Kadeem suffered burns on more than 50% of his body. Both of his legs were amputated. He had two collapsed lungs and a brain injury. He spent 5 months in a coma. He came to Monroe Community Hospital for rehabilitation in 2012. And as a result of the quality care he received at MCH, Kadeem can now speak again. He can feed himself again. And he can remember people and conversations again. But best of all, 2 weeks ago, Kadeem walked with the help of a walker and two prosthetic legs for the very first time. Kadeem plans to go back to college and finish out his last semester. His goal is to be able to walk across the stage to receive his degree. When hospital staff recently threw a birthday party for him, Kadeem told them, "I don't think of you as staff, I think of you as family." His new family plans to be there when he crosses that stage. And here's an important part of Kadeem's story, and that is that no other rehabilitation service provider in Rochester would accept him as a patient. No other facility would take Kadeem. No other facility except MCH. Its mission is literally carved in stone above the arch as you walk through the door. It says, "Dedicated to the welfare of humanity." Monroe County has been and continues to be wholeheartedly invested in supporting that mission. So tonight, to the critics who have just discovered a new interest in MCH, I call on you to join our mission. Volunteer at the hospital. Donate to the MCH Foundation Board. Do what you can to help us continue to make MCH not just a world-class long-term care facility, but a world-class home for the residents it serves. For 23 years, Dr. Andy Doniger has had a great partnership with this community. As Director of Public Health, he's had an incredible career, and that's really an understatement. Dr. Doniger has been a pioneer and a true champion for wellness in Monroe County. Under his leadership, the county implemented some of the nation's first smoking bans. He fought to educate and raise awareness about critical problems like teen pregnancy, childhood obesity, lead poisoning levels in children. I could dedicate this entire address tonight to Dr. Doniger's legacy of accomplishment. Our community is a better and healthier place because he has served. Now, he wasn't able to make it tonight, but you can help me anyway thanking Dr. Doniger for a job well done. Most of you in this room have worked with him, and we all want to wish him the best for a well-deserved retirement. So thank you, Dr. Doniger. And while searching for a successor, we didn't need to look any further than our deputy health director. Byron Kennedy joined the county in 2010 and has proven to be an invaluable asset to our team. Recently, Dr. Kennedy was featured in a New England Journal of Medicine report detailing our health department's investigation into infections triggered by tattoos. Dr. Kennedy's investigation revealed that the ink itself was the carrier of bacteria. As a result of the discovery, the batch of ink was recalled nationwide, preventing many more people from being infected. The quality of life in any community is only as good as the quality of its public health efforts. So tonight, we're breaking news. We're breaking the story, Dr. Kennedy. Let's take the opportunity to welcome Dr. Byron Kennedy to his new post as County Health Director and wish him the best of luck as he moves forward. Dr. Kennedy, please stand. quality of life is not just about people. It's about building the kind of community that we want to live in. Monroe County recently did something that it hasn't done in some time. We built a brand new road. The city did it the other day, and we did it too. We didn't just pave or resurface. We actually created a new road to provide better access from commercial and industrial parks in Henrietta to I-390 and to the New York State Thruway. The John Street Extension Project took a while. It started in 2005. This project is paving the way, yes, pun intended, for new businesses to grow and expand in an area that is increasingly an engine that drives our local economy. The project will also ease congestion and delays for all types of traveling public in the town of Henrietta. That's a good thing. I want to say thank you to Terry Rice, our county's director of transportation, and the rest of his staff for going above and beyond to improve our area's world-class transportation system every day. I always tell Terry it's always about roads and bridges, and he reminds me of that every single day. So tonight, Terry, that paragraph was for you. The Greater Rochester International Airport is truly our local gateway to the world. The success we have had in meeting the needs of the traveling public is the result of an important partnership between the FAA, the airlines, and the county. More than 2 million people use our airport each and every year, and emplanements are increasing. They're at a record level, as a matter of fact. We pride ourselves on good customer experience. Providing affordable and safe travel options is our priority. Unfortunately, there are times when policy adopted in Washington has unintended consequences here at home. Recently, Congress voted to impose across-the-board cuts to programs and services, and because of the sequester, as it's been called, the airport could lose 70% of its airport infrastructure dollars. That could impact our ability to move ahead with important projects that will enhance the safety of our runways, mainly. I recently traveled to Washington to talk with members of our delegation about the problem. Shifting dollars from airport projects to pay for other programs in the federal budget may seem like a good short-term solution, but long-term, it compromises public safety. I do publicly want to thank Senator Chuck Schumer for quick action on another critical airport issue. The FAA had asked for a plan to operate our airport overnight without air traffic controllers in the tower. Airport Director Mike Giardino was appropriately concerned that overnight planes may have to be diverted to ensure safety. So I had a chance to meet with Senator Schumer on a Tuesday, and on Wednesday, the FAA called and told us Rochester would not be losing its air traffic controllers after all. Thank you, Senator Schumer. Quick action, and I appreciate that. You know, as county executive, I truly understand the need to make tough budget decisions. We're doing it at every level of government because every level of government needs to spend less, to borrow less, and follow the lead of most families in our community who each and every day take action to live within their means. For years, you've heard me talk about the crushing burden of Medicaid. Medicaid is a mandate. It is the largest mandate in our budget. County taxpayers pick up 25% of the cost in New York State, and we live in one of only two states that requires local support of the Medicaid program. Starting in 2015, the state will be picking up the entire cost of the growth in that program. This is a big deal for counties, and I applaud Governor Cuomo and our state legislature for making it happen. This is truly a big deal for counties. But counties will still have a Medicaid bill to pay each year, and in Monroe County, the total will be about $185 million. That's about 18% of our total operating budget. It's a lot of money. When I was in Washington, I promoted an idea that would save the county, the state, and federal taxpayers money. Right now, when someone insured by Medicaid or Medicare calls an ambulance, the reimbursement to the ambulance company will only be provided if the patient is delivered to an emergency room. The reimbursement would not apply to anyone taken to an urgent care facility or a clinic. That includes people who simply have a cut or a scrape, a toothache, sunburn, flu symptoms, non-life-threatening, non-emergency problems. Those things hurt, for sure, but they are far from being critical emergencies. So if you receive Medicaid, it costs more than $1,700 on average to treat you in an emergency room. For Medicare patients, the cost is upwards of $2,800. At urgent care, the same person can be treated for $212. A simple change in federal Medicaid reimbursement law could save Monroe County $190 million a year and the federal government nearly $75 billion a year. Now, the county's met with our federal delegation. We've walked them through the whole proposal, and we've asked for a 3-year pilot because we want to put the idea to the test. We want to validate the savings. We want to work with our hospital partners to make sure that we're not solving a problem in one area but causing another in another area. And we're really excited about this prospect, and I'm hoping it will come to fruition. And once again, as we say often, all eyes will really be on Monroe as we lead by example. You know, because of Medicaid and other mandated programs, balancing our county budget continues to be a challenge each and every year. We have to overcome a structural imbalance of nearly $50 million every year when we balance our budget. Mandates are 82% of our budget, 100% of our problem. State mandated programs include the pension program, safety net, child welfare, special ed, pre-K programs, early intervention, indigent defense, probation, youth detention, and our jail, and that's only half the list. Now, no one will argue that our friends and neighbors don't benefit from these programs that are on that list, and that's not the point tonight. We know there's a constituency behind every single one of those programs. The problem is counties have no control over the cost of the programs. Sometimes the state provides partial reimbursement to counties. Oftentimes, the mandate comes without corresponding state revenue at all. Now, recently, the governor created a financial restructuring board to assist local governments who are struggling with their budgets. The governor's listening to us. He really is. Counties, like many local governments, are distressed. But the answer is not creating a statewide control board. To me, the solution is clear, very simple. Fix the mandates, and you fix the counties. Fix the mandates and you fix the counties. And local property taxpayers will be able to keep more money each and every year in their family budget. The governor says counties need to tighten our belts. Monroe County agrees, absolutely. I've told the governor that. For 9 years, we've maintained our commitment to property tax rate stability. We continue to hold spending below inflation. Our budget complies with the property tax cap that controls the growth of the levy. Our budget complies with the Taxpayer Protection Act that controls non-mandated spending. Our operational streamlining efforts are paying off. Our 2013 budget actually reduced the ongoing year-to-year forecasted deficit created by the mandates that we just talked about. I grew up in Rochester, and I've worked here as an adult for 36 years, which shows you how old I am, no longer a young professional. You know, when you live and you work somewhere for that amount of time, when you grow up in a community, you get to know a lot about the place. You learn about history. You learn about tradition. You learn about industry. You learn about assets, priorities, strengths, and you learn about liabilities. But you also learn a lot about people. As county executive, my priorities have always been about Rochester's people. Rochester's people want to be able to work and earn a decent paycheck. They want to be able to buy food and provide shelter for their families. They want to feel safe in their homes and in their neighborhoods. And they want their children and grandchildren to be better off today than they are today. I will continue to put taxpayers first. I will continue to focus on jobs and opportunities for residents, young and old. I will continue to invest in our quality of life. You know, tonight we've talked about critical partnerships that we have in economic development, public safety, public health, in programs advancing our commitment to children and families. It is very clear to me, government can't do it alone. It was Henry Ford who said, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." Eastman Business Park is an example of the limitless potential we have for success in our county. Gathering in this room at the site of an iconic Rochester company, Eastman Kodak, we are reminded that history is on our side. Our eyes are wide open to the challenges, but we cannot stop looking for the opportunities. Because as Frederick Douglass once noted, without a struggle, there can be no progress. When you grow up in Rochester, as I did, When you view life in Rochester through the eyes of a reporter, as I did for 18 years, when you work in government for 18 years and witness the true impact of public policy as I have, you get to know a lot about the spirit of Rochester's people. Rochester's people have a great spirit. They're innovative, they're compassionate, and generous to a fault. They're informed, they're engaged. They have a great sense of place and a respect of heritage and tradition. They respect history, but absolutely know the kind of community they want to live in. Whether in moments of pride or moments of crisis, it is the spirit of Rochester's people and not their government that will define our future. The state of our county depends on it. Thank you so much for coming tonight. God bless you all.